Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
So the goal is breaking Johnny Morris's record and then some. What other goals does Roman Dunze have for himself as he gets to become a Chicago Bear?
My individual goal is to get Rookie of the Year. That's my individual goal. I'm really, really striving towards that. Follow along one of the great receivers I know, and Garrett Wilson over there with the Jets, and do some of that. That's my biggest individual goal. But, you know, I want to make the playoffs. I want to be in contention for, you know, a conference and a division championship. So those things, if we're striding towards those goals, then I think the Rookie of the Year and the individual stuff will come with it.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
That was Roman Dunze talking about the desire to be Rookie of the Year. With Parkins and Spiegel, what's up? It's Gabe Ramirez, 670 The Score, and we will talk about not only Roman Dunze, but the other offensive weapons that Caleb Williams has, and there's an interesting question surrounding that, and that's whether or not Justin Fields would still be here if he had those weapons. I didn't say it. Our next guest did. Joining us on the Circus Sports Illinois Hotline, download the Circus Sports app today. Of course, you can catch him on the Alternate Routes podcast, which is so cool, and a myriad of other things. And he's joining us right now to discuss that and more. It is none other than Trey Wingo. Trey, welcome back.
Hey, man. Good to be with you. How are you?
Doing good, Trey. So let's start with the tweet about Justin Fields and whether or not he'd still be there. I'm curious as the context behind the thought process there.
Well, I mean, the context behind it is, I think Caleb Williams is walking into arguably the best position of any number one drafted quarterback that I can think of at any time. You know, normally when you're drafted number one overall, especially a quarterback, there's a lot of reasons for that. And this team is not bereft of talent. They're not miserable. You have DJ Moore, you have Cole Kmet, you have DeAndre Swift, you have Keenan Allen, which you just got over in a trade this past season. Well, not with a trade, but this past season from the Chargers. And you have a defense that, when Justin Fields was there, I believe statistically was the worst in the history of the Bears franchise, and the Bears defense last year was a top 10 defense. So Caleb Williams is set up for success in a way that I don't think very few quarterbacks drafted number one overall has ever been set up for success.
I agree with that. I mean, I think everybody here in Chicago does. We're all excited about the weapons that are, you know, available for Caleb Williams in the present. I when I think about Caleb and when I think about what the Bears have, because you hear guys like Jalen Johnson, right, Trey, say, hey, I've seen it. He is special. He's throwing a ball that I thought was going to intercept over my head. And I thought to myself, that was amazing. You know, you hear other guys mention it as well, like Keenan Allen. But there's still the fact remains that he's still a rookie, right? So when people have these expectations, like, how would you tell Bears fans to curb them, if at all?
I would say that historically, it's about a 50-50 shot with a quarterback, okay? That's how you curb them. I said he's walking into a good situation. Whether or not it develops is a completely different story. Look, from 2000 to 2019, a good friend of mine over at ESPN, Paul Hemmakidis, did a comprehensive look at the draft over 20 years, and specifically in the first round. And the metric was, okay, if this guy got a second contract from the team that drafted him, it was a hit. And if they didn't, they considered that a bust. And I think that's pretty fair. Over that time period, there were 56 quarterbacks taken in the first round, 2000 to 2019. Less than half of them got a second contract from the team that drafted them. 77% of wide receivers over that 20-year time frame didn't get a second contract from the team that drafted him. So as much as we all think we know everything, none of us really know anything, okay? Like, for example, Trevor Lawrence just got a huge contract, good for him, but by any metric, he regressed last year on a team that was better, that had more weapons. He threw more interceptions in fewer games, fewer touchdown passes, and had the third most fumbles in the NFL. And they got off to a great start. I think they lost, five of their last six, mm-hmm, or six of their last seven to miss the postseason. So, you know, they gave him the contract because they still believe in him. But you can't look at Trevor Lawrence as the number one overall pick in 2021 and say, yeah, that was a home run. And go back and look at the 2021 draft, of which Justin Fields was part of. Lawrence went number one. He got the contract, but he still hasn't proven to be that guy. Zach Wilson was number two, and he's now barely hanging on as a backup. Number three was Trey Lance, whom the 49ers gave up three first-round picks for. He's the third stringer in Dallas. We know where Justin Fields is now, and Mac Jones is now backing up Trevor Lawrence. Mm. Those are all first-round quarterbacks in 2021. So, yes, you should be excited about potential for Caleb Williams, but that's all it is at this point, potential. I'm a Zen philosopher when it comes to first-round picks. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, and especially in this division, right, Trey? I mean, it's not as though – I mean, I guess when you're looking at any division, there's going to be tough teams in there. But when you look at the NFC North, how do you see the Bears stacking up against, you know, a Minnesota team that's really trying to figure out who they are, where I am anticipating some turmoil with Justin Jefferson and what's going on there. You do see the Lions, and can they continue to ascend to the heights that they, you know, are trying to reach? And then the Green Bay Packers, you know, is it fool's gold that we saw, or is Jordan Love going to be consistent there? So how do you see the Bears stacking up in the NFC North?
I think the Minnesota Vikings by far are the weakest team going into the season. Well, look, we've seen stranger things happen, but if you just look at what they have and who they lost, outside of Justin Jefferson, they're basically starting over from top to bottom. I do not think it was fool's gold with Jordan Love and the Packers in last season. You know, I think over the last five or six games of the regular season, statistically, Jordan Love was the best quarterback in the NFL and played really well in that game against the Dallas Cowboys, where they went out there and smoked him. And a Cowboys team that had the best home record, second best home winning streak in Cowboys franchise history, had the best point differential at home in the regular season, had the best turnover margin differential at home in the regular season. And they went out there and kicked their butts up and down the field. And I think the Lions are still going to be very good. I think the Bears have a chance, but I mean, I think it's going to be a much more competitive division this year than it was for Detroit a year ago. And I think the Bears, if Caleb Williams is what he's supposed to be, are going to be right in the thick of it.
What happens if I'm trying to pick, I'm trying to envision the scenario and I can't, if Caleb Williams isn't that guy?
Then it's what the Bears have had since Sid Luckman.
Just another.
I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, right? Like Bobby Douglas, couple of good years. Jim McMahon, couple of good years. You know,
because I look at Ryan Poles, right, Trey, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, you inherited Justin Fields and you rode that out a bit, and then when you have Valus Jones, your first offensive guy you drafted, you definitely rode that one out. You're getting Caleb Williams now. Like I can't even picture him going and getting the wily veteran out there, or to just bring someone in to plug them in. But hopefully that's something we Bears don't have to think about.
Well, I mean, it is interesting, right? Because I've said this before, and I was on another show, I think. I would not have traded Justin Fields when they traded him. You know, it's not to say that I think that Justin Fields was going to beat out Caleb Williams. I think you hold on to a commodity until you can get maximum value for it. And how many backup quarterbacks played last year? Tons, right?
Yeah.
There are going to be injuries. There was no rush to get rid of Justin Fields. And this narrative that, oh, he did right by Justin to tell him, that's such crap. Ryan Poles is not interested in doing right by a player that he's getting rid of. His job is to do right by the team that he's getting the player rid of from, which is the Chicago Bears. It wasn't a benevolent thing. That was the best offer he had at the time, what he got from Pittsburgh. My issue was, why would you do it at that time? You go into training camp, and there are going to be injuries, and things are going to pop up. And, Aaron Rodgers lasted four plays. Joe Burrow got hurt. How many quarterbacks got hurt last year? Kirk Cousins, they all went down. And then you have a Justin Fields, and suddenly I guarantee you're going to get more than a six-round pick from him. And I do not want to hear this argument. They're like, well, that would create tension.
that was the number one argument.
Get out of here with that. Okay, if that's a problem, then Caleb Williams is going to stink anyway. Let's just be honest about it. If he's afraid of competition and it's going to bother him, then he's not any good anyway. So the only problem I have with what they did with Justin Fields is, why did they get rid of him when they got rid of him? Everyone knows when you take Caleb Williams number one overall, he's going to be your guy. So it's not an issue there. It's a matter of, okay, let's protect against injury for us and let's hold on to this value in case there's an injury somewhere else.
I was all for that. I thought that would have been the case. And then that way, because Ryan Poles has made several moves at the trade deadline over the last couple of years, so he's not afraid to pull the trigger. So for me, it was like, well, you keep him and you can just trade him in the season and probably get something. And then, of course, when you get the draft pick, that's when everybody was up in arms about, you know, what the return was there. But again, let's assume for a second, though, Trey, that Caleb Williams, you know, is, you know, good. Let's not even call him great or amazing. Good. What do you think is the biggest weakness of the Bears team heading into this season?
Well, I mean, there's a cohesiveness on offense that needs to come together. I think they need to establish a little bit more of a running game. But the biggest thing is the other side of the ball. Like we talked about, you know, Justin Fields, when he was there, he walked into the worst defense in the history of the Bears franchise. And, you know, that defense needs to play like they did a year ago with a rookie quarterback to help him with some learning curves, you know, unless he's the next coming of Patrick Mahomes. And I've actually heard that comparison, a couple of times. I'm like, well, okay, let's not put that on this kid. Let's just let him try and go out there and do something first. But, you know, I think that the best thing you can do is surround a young quarterback with a running game, a safety valve and a tight end, reliable wide receivers, and a defense. They have all of that. So, I mean, it just needs to come together. My good friend Teddy Bruschi says all the time, it's one thing to get a lot of good players. It's another thing to put together a good team. And what the Bears need to do is to make sure that the good players they have come together as a good team.
Can this Bears team win a Super Bowl in the next 5 years?
I mean,
all right, better question. Better question. Will the Bears win a Super Bowl in the next 5 years?
I do not believe that.
Okay.
I do not. Just because I think that the AFC stack is just ridiculous. And San Francisco, to me, is still clearly the team to beat in the NFC. If they hadn't not had a quarterback 2 years ago, we might be talking about them going to, you know, 4 Super Bowls in 5 years. Jimmy G hadn't thrown they had a 10-point lead against the Rams in the fourth quarter. And then they couldn't hold that one. So we could be talking about a 49ers team that went to 55, 56, 57, and 58. I mean, they had no chance against the Eagles because they lost all their quarterbacks. So to me, San Francisco is still by far the team to beat in the NFC. And I think you have to look at Detroit as the team to beat right now in the division. And then you take it from there.
I know. It's so tough, right? When you're a fan, I'm super big.
But there is reason for optimism. I want to be clear. There is reason for optimism, but optimism only works if things turn out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because I'd be okay with the 5-year run of, you know, an NFC championship, maybe an NFC championship appearance. I'd be even okay with that. And then, but not just one off, right? Like, don't just give me that in year 4 of the 5. Get to the playoffs, maybe lose. Like, you know, I want to see some progression. And then if it blows up or something happens, then I don't care. But at least I ultimately want the Bears, and it seems as though they're heading in the right direction, of being a team that annually you were talking about them at the top of the NFL.
The potential is there. The potential is there. But, you know, what's the old saying? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. I mean, like, it's one thing to have the potential. It's the other thing to execute on it. You know, you think the Buffalo Bills would have said they'd be doing what they're be doing with Josh Allen? And they have literally, as good as this reboot in Buffalo has been with a really good quarterback in Josh Allen, they have one AFC championship game appearance to show for it. Mm. I mean, that's it. And they lost by 10 points when they were up by 10 that year in the AFC championship game. So, you know, and all, what do they want all last year? Oh, we finally get the Chiefs at our place. Great. What happened? You know, I mean, so
got embarrassed.
I mean, you know, Aaron Rodgers is going to be the savior for the Jets 4 plays later, mm-hmm. you know, 4 offensive plays later, season's over. So look, I mean, it's possible, but nothing. The only thing I can tell you with great certainty about the NFL is that it starts with the Chiefs and number 15 and it goes from there down. Yeah. That's the only thing I can tell you.
Yeah, and that's what everyone's saying right now, that's exactly what it is. And it's so interesting because as you get older, right, like when you go from like a 20-year-old meatball and then you get a little bit older and you start to see a decade's worth of the NFL or 15 years worth of the NFL and you're like, it's so difficult to win. Oh my gosh, yeah. I've been so upset every year when they don't win the Super Bowl, and that's foolish. It is foolish because no one wins the Super Bowl every year unless you're Kansas City and the number 15.
Right, like Brady. You know, there was a stretch in Brady's career where he was more likely to go to a conference championship game than an average quarterback was to complete a pass. I mean, that's how ridiculously high the percentage
yes.
were. And that's kind of where it is in Kansas City right now. I mean, like, I thought what Dan Campbell said after the NFC Championship game loss last year was really one of the most honest things he can say I've ever heard a coach say. He's like, yeah, I think we'll be back here next year, but I can't say with certainty. I've seen so many good teams never find that form again. So, yeah, that's why it hurts so bad.
It's the saddest thing when you see players, young players, right, that make it with their team to the Super Bowl, World Series, NBA championship. Young players, though, because you see it in their face. And then when you watch them 5 years later and they've yet to smell a championship appearance or a championship run, you see how defeated they look in their eyes, and it's absolutely disheartening. We're talking to Trey Wingo here on 670 The Score. Gabe Ramirez here with you. All right, Trey, so I know you got the Alternate Routes podcast, and I got a couple for you. I don't know if you're okay with that. Got a couple of suggestions.
Okay, hit me.
You might think, all right, what if LeBron James had pursued a career in NFL instead of the NBA?
Yeah, we've gotten that from a lot of listeners, and I think we're probably going to do that one. Okay. Here's the thing, okay? Look, it's one thing to take someone who's a physical specimen and say, hey, let's translate him into doing this. And he was a very good high school prospect. The difference, like the way I say it is, you know, people talked about contact sports. The NBA is a contact sport. Football's a collision sport, and you need to be okay with being collided. You know, Charles Barkley talks a lot about the difference between a basketball player and a football player. He's like, those football players, man, it's a different mentality. It's a different deal for them. I'm not saying he couldn't do it in any way, shape, or form, but where's the want to in that situation? Hmm. Where's, when you know you're going to get clocked a lot? I mean, you know, it's a different dynamic. I have so much respect for so many guys in the NFL, even the worst players in the league, because there's a mindset that you have to have when you step over that white sideline and go onto the playing surface. You are going to, A, commit things that you could never commit anywhere else in public life without getting arrested, and B, subject yourself to those things being committed to you that would not happen or be allowed anywhere else in the civil society. And you have to be okay with that. So for all the athleticism that we talk about with LeBron and all this kind of stuff, it's that mentality that I need to know. Do you have that? Do you have that to play this game with 100% injury rate? And are you willing to do that? And, you know, Gronk, one of the most physical players in the history of the NFL, talked about how it just messed him up at some point because he was so beat up and he had to stop. And he eventually came back and won that last Super Bowl with Tom Brady and the Bucks. So it's never a question of athleticism. LeBron has the athleticism to play in the NFL. It's all the other stuff, man.
Yeah, I remember being in high school, Trey, on my football team, and I was the guy that played football and then went over to play basketball because that was the softer sport. And I remember going up to my middle linebacker because I played safety.
Yeah.
And I remember going up to him because, we do the Oklahoma drills and all that stuff. And I just remember walking as a 14, 15-year-old kid going up to him and be like, how do you do that? How do you throw your body into that person? And I remember asking him vividly. So when you say that, I'm like, yeah, that's a different kind of mindset you have in order to do. I got two more for you, though. I got two more for you, Jay. What if Bo Jackson never suffered the hip injury?
Yeah, well, that's one we're doing for sure. Like, Bo was the greatest athlete I've ever seen in my life.
I was on the tail end of that, but I always just see the highlights, especially because he played for the White Sox. I'm a Sox fan. So I saw it, but I never got to see the full version of Bo in his prime when you're watching it in real time. And I always wonder about that because I do feel like people talk about him, but then they bring up the injury as if, you couldn't have gone past it. And then I got the last one for you. What if Kobe Bryant had been traded to the Bulls in 07?
Love that one. You know, we actually did, we are in the process of doing one. What if the Lakers don't make that draft day trade?
For Vlade? Okay.
Yeah, and Kobe ends up his career basically staying in Charlotte for the most of the time. So yeah, it's a great one. We just recorded one today, which I think NBA fans will find interesting. Remember, the Warriors traded for Andrew Bogut for Milwaukee, and they traded Monte Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
They offered Steph Curry, and the Bucks said no because they were concerned about his ankles.
Oh my gosh.
So what if Steph Curry actually had been traded to the Bucks instead of Monte Ellis? Would Monte Ellis and Klay Thompson become the Splash Brothers? Would Steph Curry be Steph Curry in Milwaukee? Because eventually he'd be paired with a young Giannis Antetokounmpo, and would that be the best inside-out game potentially we've seen in NBA history?
And he'd be going up against LeBron a little bit sooner in the East. That would have been
well. Not only that, and I mean, let's be honest: three of LeBron's six NBA Finals losses were hung on him by the Warriors. That Warrior team doesn't exist. Oh, we might be talking about LeBron James with James with six titles, which would match a certain 23 that played for the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, yeah. And on that note, Trey Wingo, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you check it out, Alternate Routes. You can get it anywhere you listen to your podcast. It's definitely a good listen. It's certainly a head-scratcher by the time you finish. Trey, we appreciate you jumping on, as always.
You got it, man. Take care.
Trey Wingo, make sure you're following him, Wingo Z, on Twitter, on X, whatever you're calling it. And then again, he does the podcast with Kevin Frazier, and they go deep, man. They talk about a lot of stuff, and I'll just read you some of it, some of the episodes. What if the Tuck Rule didn't save Tom Brady? What if Shaq stayed in Orlando? That's a good one. What if Trump bought an NFL team back in the day? What if A-Rod signed with the Red Sox? What if the Seahawks handed it off to Marshawn Lynch? A ton of stuff there that's actually really good. You know, speaking of the NBA, which he was excited about, I want to talk a little bit about Team USA on the other side. Talk a little bit about Montas, who's been destroying the Summer League over the last week. We'll get into that and more. And then at the back end of the hour, before we get to Marshall Harris at 8, sumo and sushi. I've been talking about it a lot. It's because it's exactly what it says. It's sumo wrestling and some sushi. I'm going to tell you guys about it in a little bit. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Tyler Farengol's producing today. He's looking at me like, bro, why aren't you talking? And I'm just, you want to know why? Because I'm old enough to imagine 112 singing the chorus to this song. Sky is the limit.
It's your show. I figure you like Sky grooving out to the music every now and then.
You know what? I listen to Anthony Heron a lot on this station. And if Ant Heron could get on here and sing, then I can just kind of, you know, vibe out. You know, a little Biggie, a little 112. It is Gabe Ramirez. It is 670 to score. Happy Wednesday, everybody. I'll be back on your airwaves Friday as well. Are you producing that show too? No? Okay. I'll be back Friday, and I'm going to mention it in the next break. Friday, 9:30, I'm going to Sumo and Sushi. It's just, it's crazy. I saw this. I don't want to talk about it right now. All right, I'll wait a little bit. Anyway. Team USA beat Serbia today. Steph Curry in the game. We're going to talk Bulls. We're going to talk Team USA. Give you the update on the Chicago Fire match right now. It's 0-0. Seems to be a trend with the fellas. But Team USA literally dominated. 105-79 in the pre-Olympics exhibition match in Abu Dhabi. I think that... I don't know, man. If I was Team USA... Being on Team USA doesn't have the same umph as it once had. Like a bunch of, like there's no need for the NBA to have 12 of the best players playing. Like Kevin Durant and LeBron James don't need to be on the same team with Steph Curry. That's just not even fun. This is what happens. 105-79, that's not fun. It's expected. You're picking on people. And the college game, I mean, I don't know how they'd fare, but I'd love to see Cooper Flagg right now playing against some of these players. He's been dominating. So 105-79 over Serbia. Steph Curry had 24 points. Bam Adebayo put up 17. Anthony Davis at 17, 6, and 6. Whereas, obviously, the other night, if you were watching, he had, when they played Australia, he had, I think it was like 14 and 14 or something like that. Jokic had 8 and 7 for Serbia. Clearly, he didn't care about the game because it's a warm-up. After the first quarter, the game was tied, though. Shout out Sean Leahy for giving us all the updates. Then, I mean, it's just when you're watching these games, they're not as fun. What do you think is more fun, an All-Star game or the Olympics? Tyler Farrengal, talking to you over there. All-Star game or Olympics, more fun to watch? To actually, like, if I had said you have to watch a game, would you rather watch an Olympic game or an All-Star game?
Does it matter the sport?
Fool, I'm talking basketball.
Okay, well, I mean, if we're going recency bias, I'm going to say Olympic game just because the NBA All-Star game has been pretty hard to watch over the last few years.
But when you're winning 90-63 in the fourth quarter with 7 minutes left, I mean,
how many games are like that, though? That's how many games are like pretty big blowouts?
When the U.S. roster is stacked, or when the U.S. roster is assembled accordingly, this is every game. This should be every game, and it more often than not is. You run into some games because you had like B-level basketball players doing like, you know, the World Games or something, not the Olympics. So, but when you get the best of, like, it's just, when you got LeBron James coming off the bench, it's like, come on. And then he's not even going to LeBron James you. He's going to give it to Devin Booker so he can Devin Booker you. I don't know what I'm complaining about exactly.
I think it's more so of just like an effort than like, clearly the guys in the NBA All-Star game really don't give a crap and they don't try. I mean, it's under 50% that these guys are putting in effort-wise. The Olympics, it's all about, you know, playing for your country. I understand that it's a little bit more, you know, with the U.S., with what you're saying, these games should be blowouts, but I will take quality of play more times than not over let's get every single All-Star together and see how bad this product has been over the last several years.
People have been complaining about the All-Star game, haven't they?
Well, this last year, they scored, what, collectively, like 400 points?
I mean, isn't that exciting, though? Isn't that what you want?
I want to see some
105-76. You know what I'm saying? You scored half the points, half the buckets. I see what you're saying. A little bit of defense.
Because these guys don't play any sort of defense in the All-Star game.
They play no defense at all.
No defense.
I want to get into men's Olympic basketball. That's why. I want to watch it. I want to be like, oh my gosh, look at this. This is crazy. But it's just not as fun. I'd rather. Here you go. I'll throw this one in there. Summer League basketball. Would you rather watch Summer League over the Olympics? Would you rather watch Summer League over the All-Star game since you like defense so much? And these kids are playing for their life.
I would rather watch the All-Star game because I don't really know who most of these Summer League guys are. I don't care if I sound like a hypocrite. That's just my honest opinion. Like,
you just used the thing. All right. I think I'd watch the Summer League because I want to see Montez Bozzelis play. He's out there looking like a grown man.
I've heard he's been tearing it up.
I just love the things that he says. If there's one thing you've learned about me over the last couple of years here on 670 The Score is that I genuinely love talent. I don't care if you're a mechanic. I don't care if you're a barber. If you are talented at your specific profession, I am a fan of you. I am even more a fan of you if you talk trash about it and then you go and back it up. That's why I like Tom Brady. That's why I like Floyd Mayweather. I like winners. Winners that not only win, but that are confident in their winning. So much of us are confident in our winning, but we can't. Me. Do you understand? I tell every football player that I do shows with that I could beat them in basketball. The ridiculousness that I say to people.
How many times have you told Corey Wooten that?
Every time I see him, I still to this day. And you know what? I do it to egg him on. He gets upset. He's like, Gabe, I'm 6'7". I'm 290, bro. I'll just back you up. I say, you don't want to see this in the post?
I bet, Gabe, you got a nasty step back jumper. You'll get that separation.
My game is nice. My game is nice.
I don't doubt you.
Check my stats at Lane Tech. Check my stats. Nice. But I know I can't beat a 6'7" Corey Wooten. I can't beat a, probably can't beat an in-shape 6'4" Clay Harbor. But I say it because I have confidence. But I love the people that say it and back it up. Like Modest Buzelis. I mean, this guy on draft night, of course, this is the 11th pick in the draft for the Chicago Bulls, if you don't know. On draft night, after getting drafted, they asked him about the one-on-one offer to face the number one pick in the draft. Do we have that clip? Mons is talking about that. I'm gonna give you a summation of it, but if we have it, I'd love to hear him say it. He's basically talking about the number one pick about one-on-one, and he's like essentially saying, you got it?
Zachary Risacher, yeah, correct?
You got it? Oh, my God. Play this.
Zachary Risacher, you challenged him recently, possibly work out against him. Where does that stand? Is that offer still out there? Do you feel like he's ducking you?
I think everybody got it twisted once I said it. I respect Zach as a player, of course. He's a great player. He just doesn't want to see me like that. I'm just going to keep it real, like with everybody. He doesn't want to see me, and I'm going to stand on that. The offer still stands, for sure. I'm waiting on a response.
That is wild. That is wild. Do you understand? Like, that's like, and I'm not comparing the players, like the caliber of player, but I'm just trying to put in perspective what a number one pick. It's like Wemby going one last year. And whoever goes 11 is like, everybody got it twisted. But Wemby don't want to see me.
Do you think he would have said that to Wemby?
Yeah.
Or about Wemby?
Yes. I genuinely believe that. He would say just like this. I'm listening to him. He said, he doesn't want to see me. He don't want to see me on the court. Right? So he says that. Love that. Then, I don't think we have it in the system yet. And it's something recent from Modest. I'll say what he said, but if there's a recent clip, it's basically him saying, I'll say it because I don't think we would have it. I'm the only Bulls nut over here. He's like, he just said this. Nobody in this draft class works as hard as me. It's just like statements like that. The number one pick in the draft don't want to see me. And the offer still stands if he wants it. And then in the present, after dropping 28 in the summer league, after dunking on a lot of people, he's like, hey, check this out though. No one works as hard as me. Whoever came out this draft, I got the craziest work ethic out of anybody. I love it. I'm here for it.
I like the confidence.
It's through the roof. And he's going to need it. And then you look at his little scrawny body. Scrawny for compared to NBA. He's actually muscular. But compared to NBA players, scrawny. And you look at him and you're like, I can't wait for you to do the Lauri Markkanen. I can't wait for you to do the Joakim Noah. Where you're skinny, but then all of a sudden, I can't wait for you to do the Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like, if you're really the hardest worker, that's what I want to see in 2-3 years. Because it's going to be rough, guys. This Bulls season is going to be, it's going to be fun. Because if there's one thing you can credit the front office with, and not just AK, but just the Bulls as an organization, they'll put a product on the field, or on the floor, excuse me. One that can compete. It might not compete at a high level game in and game out for 82, but they're going to put something on the floor that they're not going to disrespect the fan base and just go, you know, tankathon. That's why I said it to Casey Johnson yesterday. So the Bulls aren't going to tank because that's not what they do. But the Bulls will sink out of that little play-in situation and find themselves in the bottom of that conference just for 1 year, though. Then they'll make the moves that they need to make. That is for sure. Shout out to Modest Buzelis. I know he's a local guy. Hopefully his family's watching. You have a fan in Gabe Ramirez. That's for sure. All right. When we come back, I'm a fan of going on dates with my wife. And specifically to places and experiences that you can't get every day. And do you know anything about sumo? Sumo?
Sumo wrestling? Yeah, I mean, yeah, like, yeah. I know of it, but I don't know, like, a lot about
all
it.
Right. Well, I'll give you guys a nice date idea on the other side when we come back. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 670 The Score.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Marshall Harris hanging out at the top of the hour. It's not like I haven't seen him recently. See what he's up to, wearing t-shirts, hanging out. maybe going to the WNBA games. Maybe that's where he's at. We are going to be talking to him at 8. In the meantime, don't forget, mañana en la mañana, tomorrow in the morning, 5:30 to 10, Mully and Hall, they're going to do their show in front of a live studio audience at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. They'll be joined by Olin Krutz, Dave Wonstadt, Brad Biggs is going to be there. They're all going to be on site on the eve of training camp. It's all brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois through it all and Schmaltz Deli, spreading deli goodness in todos lados and everywhere. All right, let's go to the phone lines real quick before I talk about what I got to talk about. Let's go to Herschel in Lincoln, from Lincoln Park. Herschel, so you saw, first of all, it's great to talk to you again, Herschel. And so you saw Modest play in high school?
Yeah, Hinsdale. That dude was a beast. And like, I didn't think he was going to be this good like this, but I knew he had like potential to go to a good college and be successful. But, you know, to say that he's going to be the number 11 pick, I was like, nah, I wouldn't think that today. You know what I mean? I mean, back in those days. But the fact that he's the number 11 pick when he's supposed to be top five, he's a steal deal. I think he's going to be a dog for us. And I mean, I'm disappointed about DeRozan leaving. I thought they should have kept him to give him some veteranship to teach these young guys. But man, I'm not upset about nothing that's going on. I was a little depressed about DeMar leaving, but I'm okay now.
Yeah,
summer league games, I'm all right.
Yeah, I mean, summer league is definitely holding me down a bit. I remember I went one time, Herschel, twice actually, to summer leagues in the NBA. And the coolest thing about summer league that you would never know unless you actually went down to Vegas. And so I'm saying this for those of you NBA fans out there. To go from one game to another, right, because they're in different courts, the two stadiums are connected by like a tunnel. And so you could be watching one game and be like, all right, I'm straight. And then you just get up and walk down the tunnel to the other game. So, like, there's games going on constantly. That's the coolest thing about summer league.
That's pretty dope.
Oh, my gosh. It's so cool. And so I could imagine, you know, trying to run to go watch Modest play. It looks good. Not many players are out there putting up close to 30 points in a summer league game. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So when you're able to do it, and what I was telling my dad, I was talking to him earlier, you know, he's the reason why I even watch the Bulls. We used to watch the Bulls games together every day. We're talking about what was going on. And I'm like, you know, I go, he was playing last year in the summer league. You know what I'm saying? Like the people he was playing against were better than the guys in the summer league. But it was like a glorified version of that where there wasn't monsters like, you know, top tier NBA players, but there's still talent. And in those environments, when you're a guy like Modest, you can have the confidence and feel as though you belong because you feel like you can play with these guys that are there. You haven't played with the guys in the league. So, but then you get to the summer league, right?
Uh-huh.
The pressure's on you. And then to still put up 28 to be dunking on people, like, that's...
Wow.
He's definitely...
So you said he wasn't O'Bronny, huh?
Damn. I didn't say it hurt, so you did. All right? I didn't say you did. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. All right. So in between summer league games, what I'm doing is actually trying to figure out where to take my wife. And sometimes it could be difficult. You know, we got two kids. You know, she works a full-time job. I got jobs. And so finding time is difficult. And so I saw this thing. You know, I oddly watched like documentaries on sumo wrestling. Oddly. I'm like watching stuff. I don't even know who these fighters are. Sometimes it comes on a random channel where they're showing sumo wrestling at some random hour. And these bouts just happen like one after another, after another, after another, after another. And I'm super interested. And I don't know if the Matrix found me or whatever, but there's something in Chicago. It's coming this weekend. It's called Sumo and Sushi. And it is literally a sumo wrestling ring in the middle of the place. And then there's like, you know, seats around it and you're treated. So it's like a dinner theater, but actual sumo wrestling is going to be taking place. Now, I guess there's like different segments of it. It's like, cause it's 90 minutes. So it's like different. So they teach you a little bit about sumo and then at the end though, they let people do it. So guess who ended up going in the ring? He just posted up about it. Roy Hibbert. You know who that is? Super huge 7-foot center. Used to play for the Pacers.
Yep. I remember him.
He went into the ring with the sumo wrestlers. I'm telling you, this is like, they gave you the opportunity. Ask me if I'm going to go in there. You crazy? What am I going to do with a 300-pound guy who lifts up and tosses people for a living? I'd have there's no part in that. Farrengal, you got a girl? You dating somebody?
Sadly, no.
That is sad. Have you been single the whole time I've known you?
Pretty much.
No. What? No.
Yes. Okay. Yes, I have.
We got to work on it, bro. You're a handsome guy. You should.
Thank you.
And you're nice.
Thank you.
You're handsome and you're nice. That's a layup. It really is for you.
Thank you, Gabe.
You're here too much.
I am here too much. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. I like that.
Yeah, you got to have money so you can take people on dates, especially if you're trying to take them to sumo and sushi. That's what I'm trying to say. You need to be up on your game and up on your dates. You know what I mean? Like, you can't always just take them to a Cubs game. You know, you can't always just say, let's go to tailgate.
It's like, that's outside the box.
Yes.
That's what I gather from that.
Yes. And that's why you want to do it. And that's why I immediately jumped on it, because how often are you ever going to see sumo wrestling live and in person on a date while you're eating sushi?
And to your point, you don't know who in the world could be in this sumo wrestling. I would have never thought you would have said Roy Hibbert, former center for the Indiana Pacers.
Is that not funny? Roy Hibbert, 7 feet tall, trying to go up against a sumo wrestler. That's hilarious. Well, either way, you should check it out if you get a chance. I'm going to be there. I think I'm going to go Sunday. I was trying to go Friday after work because I get off at 9. But that's too late. Then Sunday, my wife and I were going to go. So that's going to be good. I'll let you know how it is when I come back Monday. All right. When I come back from this break, I'm going to be talking to Marshall Harris. He is an all-around good guy, knows his stuff well, and he's the true antagonist in everything. And I can't imagine what he's going to say when talking about the Cubs and the Sox and what their post-All-Star break run will look like. What does he think? We will discuss it next. Marshall Harris joins us right here on 670 The Score.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
We're back, live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Marshall Harris hanging out at the top of the hour. It's not like I haven't seen him recently. See what he's up to, wearing T-shirts, hanging out. Maybe going to the WNBA games. Maybe that's where he's at. We are going to be talking to him at 8. In the meantime, don't forget, mañana en la mañana, tomorrow in the morning, 5:30 to 10, Mullion Hall. They're going to do their show in front of a live studio audience at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. They'll be joined by Olin Krutz, Dave Wonstadt, Brad Biggs is going to be there. They're all going to be on site on the eve of training camp. It's all brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois through it all, and Schmaltz Deli, spreading deli goodness in todos lados and everywhere. All right, let's go to the phone lines real quick before I talk about what I got to talk about. Let's go to Herschel in Lincoln, from Lincoln Park. Herschel, so you saw, first of all, it's great to talk to you again, Herschel. And so you saw Modest play in high school?
Yeah, Hinsdale. That dude was a beast. And, like, I didn't think he was going to be this good like this, but I knew he had, like, potential to go to a good college and be successful. But, you know, to say that he's going to be the number 11 pick, I was like, nah, I wouldn't think that today. You know what I mean? I mean, back in those days. But the fact that he's the number 11 pick when he's supposed to be top five, he's a steal deal. I think he's going to be a dog for us. And, I mean, I'm disappointed about DeRozan leaving. I thought they should have kept him to give him some veteranship to teach these young guys. But man, I'm not upset about nothing that's going on. I was a little depressed about DeMar leaving, but I'm okay now. You know what I'm saying? Summer league games, I'm all right.
Yeah, I mean, summer league is definitely holding me down a bit. I remember I went one time, Herschel, twice actually, to summer leagues in the NBA. And the coolest thing about summer league that you would never know unless you actually went down to Vegas. And so I'm saying this for those of you NBA fans out there. To go from one game to another, right, because they're in different courts, the two the two stadiums are connected by like a tunnel. And so you could be watching one game and be like, all right, I'm straight. And then you just get up and walk down the tunnel to the other game. So, like, there's games going on constantly. That's the coolest thing about summer league.
That's pretty dope.
Oh, my gosh. It's so cool. And so I could imagine, you know, trying to run to go watch Modest play. It looks good. Not many players are out there putting up close to 30 points in a summer league game. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So when you're able to do it, and what I was telling my dad, I was talking to him earlier, you know, he's the reason why I even watch the Bulls. We used to watch the Bulls games together every day. We're talking about what was going on. And I'm like, you know, I go, he was playing last year in the summer league. You know what I'm saying? Like, the people he was playing against were better than the guys in the summer league. But it was like a glorified version of that, where there wasn't monsters like, you know, top tier NBA players, but there's still talent.
And in those environments, when you're a guy like Modest, you can have the confidence and feel as though you belong because you feel like you can play with these guys that are there. You haven't played right with the guys in the league. So, but then you get to the summer league, right?
Uh-huh.
The pressure's on you. And then to still put up 28 to be dunking on people, like, that's
wow.
He's definitely.
So you saying he wasn't O'Bronny, huh?
Damn. I didn't say it hurts. So you did. All right. I didn't say you did. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. All right. So in between summer league games, what I'm doing is actually trying to figure out where to take my wife. And sometimes it could be difficult because, you know, we got two kids. We, you know, she works a full-time job. I got jobs. And so finding time is difficult. And so I saw this thing, you know, I oddly watched like documentaries on sumo wrestling. Oddly. I'm like watching stuff. I don't even know who these fighters are. Sometimes it comes on a random channel where they're showing sumo wrestling at some random hour. And these bouts just happen like one after another, after another, after another, after another. And I'm super interested. And I don't know if the Matrix found me or whatever, but there's something in Chicago. It's coming this weekend. It's called Sumo and Sushi. And it is literally a sumo wrestling ring in the middle of the place. And then there's like, you know, seats around it and you're treated. So it's like a dinner theater, but actual sumo wrestling is going to be taking place. Now, I guess there's like different segments of it. It's like, cause it's 90 minutes. So it's like different. So they teach you a little bit about sumo and then and then at the end though, they let people do it. So guess who ended up going in the ring? He just posted up about it. Roy Hibbert. You know who that is? Super huge 7-foot center. He used to play for the Pacers.
Yep. I remember him.
He went into the ring with the sumo wrestlers. I'm telling you, this is like, they gave me the opportunity. Ask me if I'm going to go in there. You crazy? What am I going to do with a 300-pound guy who lifts up and tosses people for a living? I'd have no, there's no part in that. Ferengar, you got a girl? You dating somebody?
Sadly, no.
That is sad. Have you been single the whole time I've known you?
Pretty much.
No. What? No.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yes, I have.
We got to work on it, bro. You're a handsome guy. You should.
Thank you.
And you're nice.
Thank you.
You're handsome and you're nice. That's a layup. It really is for you.
Thank you, Gabe.
You're here too much.
So I am here too much. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. I like that.
Yeah, you got to have money so you can take people on dates, especially if you're trying to take them to sumo and sushi. That's what I'm trying to say. You need to be up on your game and up on your dates. You know what I mean? Like, you can't always just take them to a Cubs game. You can't always just say, hey, let's go to tailgate.
It's like, that's outside the box.
Yes.
That's what I gather from that.
Yes. And that's why you want to do it. And that's why I immediately jumped on it, because how often are you ever going to see sumo wrestling live and in person on a date while you're eating sushi?
And to your point, you don't know who in the world could be in this sumo wrestling. I would have never thought you would have said Roy Hibbert. Dude, former center for the Indiana Pacers.
Is that not funny? Roy Hibbert, 7 feet tall, trying to go up against a sumo wrestler. That's hilarious. Well, either way, you should check it out if you get a chance. I'm going to be there. I think I'm going to go Sunday. I'm trying to go Friday after work because I get off at 9. But that's too late. Then Sunday, my wife and I were going to go. So that's going to be good. I'll let you know how it is when I come back Monday. All right. When I come back from this break, I'm going to be talking to Marshall Harris. He is a all-around good guy, knows his stuff well. And he's the true antagonist in everything. And I can't imagine what he's going to say when talking about the Cubs and the Sox and what their post-All-Star break run will look like. What does he think? We will discuss it next. Marshall Harris joins us right here on 670 The Score.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.